Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is a mental health condition that is caused by an extremely stressful or terrifying event, either being part of it or witnessing it. Approximately 12 million adults in the United States are living with PTSD in any given year, according to the National Center for PTSD. This represents about 5% of the adult population. About 6 out of every 100 people in the U.S. will experience PTSD at some point in their lives, according to the National Center for PTSD. Hello, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. And today my guest is Dr. Carly Phillips, and she is a licensed clinical psychologist, and she is part of the Syracuse VA PTSD clinical team. Welcome, Dr. Phillips.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Dr. Phillips, when we hear the term PTSD, because that is familiar, a lot of us think that we know what that is, but can you tell us exactly what PTSD is?
Sure. So PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, it is a mental health condition that some people will develop, like you said, after experiencing or witnessing a life-threatening event. It's normal, really, to have upsetting memories, feel on edge, have trouble sleeping, you know, immediately following a trauma, going to work, going to school, even spending time with people you care about can feel really difficult right after a trauma. But most people actually start to feel better within a few weeks or so following those events. Symptoms last longer than a month and are causing problems in someone's life, they may have PTSD.
Now, what would you say are some of the symptoms of PTSD?
There's four types of PTSD symptoms, or clusters as we call them. To be diagnosed with PTSD, you have to meet criteria for each type of these symptoms. But of course, that said, everyone experiences symptoms in their own ways. These symptoms can include what we call re-experiencing symptoms, and that's where a person relives the trauma through memories or nightmares or triggers. Another symptom is avoidance, and that's where people will avoid things that remind them of the traumas. These can be sights, sounds, smells, or the memories themselves. The third type of symptom is where individuals will have more negative thoughts and feelings, and they may feel disconnected from friends and family. And the final cluster of symptoms of PTSD are hyperarousal symptoms, and these include things like irritability, feeling alert and on guard, startling easily, or having difficulty with concentration or sleep.
Now, Dr. Phillips, do you find that there is an increased risk of alcohol and drug addiction in those suffering from PTSD? And if so, why?
Yes, that's a great question. So yes, we do see a number of individuals who are diagnosed with PTSD also have alcohol or substance use issues. And this is pretty common, and it goes back to the symptom of avoidance. So we can avoid in a lot of different ways following trauma. You know, some people work, try to keep busy or distract when a memory or a trigger surfaces. And some people learn through exposure that alcohol and drug use can help them avoid, again, the memories or triggers, or try to suppress some of those uncomfortable emotions they're experiencing. So it really isn't uncommon that the alcohol and the substance use can be a way to try to avoid and to try to cope with all of these symptoms.
Now, when we think of post-traumatic stress disorder, I know for me, and maybe some, what comes to mind is maybe someone in the military. So I think oftentimes the assumption is that men suffer from PTSD more than women. But I read somewhere that actually it's more prevalent in women. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure, right. So women are more likely to develop PTSD than men. And this is partly, you know, due to the types of traumas that women are more likely to experience, such as sexual assault, for instance. We know that men also can experience sexual assault, but given the rates that is experienced in women, that definitely is a part as to why women are more likely to develop PTSD over time.
Now, what type of treatments are available?
Great news is we have come a long way with treatment. So we have both what we would call trauma-focused psychotherapy, or this is sometimes called talk therapy or counseling, and we also have medications that are also really helpful in treating PTSD. Sometimes people combine both therapy and medication. I will highlight maybe a few of the trauma-focused psychotherapies that we know are most highly recommended in our field and are really effective at decreasing the frequency and intensity of the symptoms. So these trauma-focused therapies, that essentially means that therapy is going to focus on the memories of the trauma and its meaning. And the three most effective types of psychotherapy are cognitive processing therapy, prolonged exposure, and eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. That one is commonly known as EMDR. And then I noted that, you know, there are some medications that are really effective.
Now, how can we support someone that is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, support is huge. And we know that individuals who are diagnosed with PTSD, there's a direct connection with the support that they receive. So family members and friends can offer a lot of valuable support. And one of the things I'll highlight is just learning about PTSD so you can understand, you know, why it happens, how is it treated, and what you can do to help. And a lot of times these friends and family members need to make time for themselves as well and take care of themselves. Changes in the family life can be stressful, and so taking care of yourself also will make it easier to cope. And just being there to listen. So telling your loved one that you want to listen and that you also understand that if it's not the right time to talk, that's okay, but you'll be there when they're ready.
Now, Dr. Phillips, if someone feels like they may be experiencing PTSD, where can they get help?
So luckily, like I said, we've come a long way. I think a great starting point is speaking either with your own mental health provider or even your primary care physician. The primary care physicians also often work in a system where they have connections with mental health professionals and can get you a referral. Other things I would definitely highlight, of course, is the National Center for PTSD. This is a great starting point for someone who's just starting to wonder if some of their experiences are leading to these post-traumatic symptoms. So going to the National Center for PTSD, and that's www.ptsd.va.gov. Even though that is a VA website, that really can be used by anyone who wants to learn about PTSD and treatment. There's some great tools on there to help you cope. We've got the PTSD Coach app. We have a PTSD Coach website. There's an About Face resource that helps recognize symptoms of PTSD and also motivate individuals to seek treatment.
Well, again, my guest is Dr. Carly Phillips, and she's a licensed clinical psychologist, and she's part of the Syracuse VA PTSD clinical team. Dr. Phillips, thanks for coming on today and just enlightening us about PTSD.
Thank you for having me.
And if you or someone you know needs emotional support, you can call or text 988 or chat online for assistance. This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackays Road. That's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.